A reading from the first letter of John. No need, brothers, to be surprised if the world hates you. That we have passed from death to life, we know because we love the brothers. The man who does not love is among the living dead. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that eternal life abides in no murderer's heart. The way we came to understand love was that he laid down his life for us. We too must lay down our lives for our brothers. I ask you, how can God's love survive in a man who has enough of this world's goods, yet closes his heart to his brother when he sees him in need? Little children, let us love in deed and in truth, and not merely talk about it. Verbum Domini.
Deo gratias.
Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I believed even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, no man is dependable. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you will I offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuum.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioanne.
Gloria a ti, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer speak of you as slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is about. Instead, I call you friends, since I have made known to you all that I heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you, to go forth and bear fruit. Your fruit must endure, so that all you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The command I give you is this, that you love one another."
Verbum Domini.
Laudetur Christus.
Today we celebrate the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe, a Franciscan friar and martyr from the early 20th century. And in his canonization homily in 1982, Pope St. John Paul II addresses the question of whether Maximilian Kolbe qualifies as a martyr. After all, he did give up his life, just not directly for the preservation of the faith. And John Paul II answers this question clearly and decisively when he says, "In judging the cause of Blessed Maximilian Kolbe, even after his beatification, it was necessary to take into consideration many voices of the people of God, especially of our brothers in the episcopate of both Poland and Germany, who asked that Maximilian Kolbe be proclaimed as a martyr saint. Before the eloquence of the life and death of Blessed Maximilian, it is impossible not to recognize what seems to constitute the main and essential element of the sign given by God to the Church and the world in his death. Does not this death, faced spontaneously for love of man, constitute a particular fulfillment of the words of Christ? Does not this death make Maximilian particularly like unto Christ, the model of all martyrs, who gives his own life on the cross for his brethren? Does not this death possess a particular and penetrating eloquence for our age? Does not this death constitute a particularly authentic witness of the Church in the modern world?" And Pope John Paul II then invokes his apostolic authority to decree that Maximilian Kolbe will be venerated by the Church as a martyr. Maximilian Kolbe was born as Raymond Kolbe in Poland in the year 1894. And as a young boy, he was known to be rather boisterous and temperamental. And his mother prayed for him continually as she tried to deal with her son's behavior. And finally, his mother said to him in exasperation, "What is to become of you?" And these words from his mother struck him to his core. He went to Our Lady and asked her in prayer what would become of him. And he received a vision during which the Blessed Mother appeared to him holding two crowns in her hands, a red one and a white one. And she invited him to choose between them. The red one signified that he would give his life as a martyr, and the white one signified perseverance and purity. And he decided to accept both crowns. In 1907, Raymond Kolbe was only 13 years old when he and his brother Francis decided to pursue a vocation as a Franciscan friar. They illegally crossed over the border from Poland to Austro-Hungary to enroll at the seminary for the conventual Franciscans. A few years later, when he began the novitiate, he was given the religious name of Maximilian. And shortly after his ordination as a priest in 1918, he was in Rome when he witnessed angry protests that were being conducted by the Freemasons against the Holy Father. And since he had a strong devotion to Mary, under the title of the Immaculata, he was greatly motivated to defend the Blessed Mother and the Church from unjust attacks, and to work and pray for the conversion of the enemies of the Church. And he even desired to go to Japan to bring the gospel message there. And he established a Franciscan monastery on the outskirts of Nagasaki. He was inspired by the Blessed Mother to build the monastery in an unusual location. And as it turns out, the monastery building was completely spared when the US dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki in 1945. Maximilian had previously established the movement Militia Immaculata while he was studying for the priesthood, and he recognized the massive potential to reach countless souls with the message of the gospel through the modern means of communication and through the media. He founded a monthly periodical entitled Night of the Immaculata, and even began the construction of a radio station in 1938, a few years before his death. Construction was completed on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it became the first Catholic radio station in Poland. And St. Maximilian had major plans to use both television and radio for the purposes of evangelization to a wider audience. He could see the potential of using these means of communication. But unfortunately, he would never be able to initiate these plans as he was arrested by the Nazis in 1941 and was sent to the Auschwitz concentration camp. And one can only imagine the horrors that ordinary people witnessed in these concentration camps, especially at Auschwitz. St. Maximilian was forced into hard labor and was given the awful task of carrying heavy stones for the construction of the wall of the crematorium, where bodies were incinerated. He was treated brutally by the Nazi guards, who beat him and even set their dogs on him. And yet Maximilian dealt with these injustices and abuses with grace and serenity. He never retaliated against the guards. He never spewed hatred, didn't fight back against them or curse them. Rather, he recalled the words of our Lord concerning love for one's enemies, and he prayed for those who persecuted him. In every way, he sought to imitate the example of Christ as he resisted the temptation even to fight over scraps of food like the other prisoners, and even shared with others what little food it was rationed to him. He heard the confessions of anyone in need, and he tried to encourage his fellow prisoners to suffer well in union with Christ and his cross. Maximilian said to them, "Let us not forget that Jesus not only suffered, but also rose in glory. So too we go to the glory of the resurrection by way of suffering and the cross." And it was often the practice of the Nazis that if any prisoners escaped from the camp, the prisoners who were left behind would be severely punished as a way of discouraging other people to escape. You know, they didn't want to have other people killed on their behalf. And towards the end of July in 1941, when a prisoner escaped from the camp, in punishment, the deputy camp commander selected 10 men to be starved to death in an underground bunker. And one of the men who was selected was Franciszek Gajowicz-Winiczek, who was a Polish army sergeant. And as he was selected for starvation, he cried out, "I pity my wife and my children." And St. Maximilian heard the man's cry, stepped forward, and offered his own life in exchange for the man with the family. The commander was surprised at first by this gesture from Maximilian, but then he accepted his proposal and allowed Franciszek to live. And the man whom Maximilian saved would eventually be transferred to another concentration camp before being liberated by the Allies. And he lived a full life until 1995, when he died at the age of 93. Ordinarily, the prisoners who were condemned to starve to death in the underground bunker were known to lash out physically and verbally. They would cry out in desperation, hurl all kinds of insults against the guards, and would even attempt to bite off pieces of one another to try to survive. However, as St. Maximilian and the 9 other prisoners were stripped naked and locked in the starvation bunker, Maximilian encouraged his fellow prisoners to join him in prayer and in the singing of hymns to Our Lady. Instead of hearing cries of suffering, desperation, and insults coming from the bunker, the guards heard prayers and the singing of Marian hymns. And thus Maximilian helped his fellow condemned prisoners to die well in the grace of Christ. And 2 weeks later, Maximilian was one of the last prisoners remaining in the bunker. And the guards finally came into the bunker and injected each of the surviving prisoners with carbolic acid to end their lives. And it is for this reason that St. Maximilian is regarded as a patron saint of drug addicts. St. Maximilian Kolbe is remarkable for his undying love for the Blessed Mother and for his devotion to the Catholic faith and the works of evangelization, his zeal for the salvation of souls. He not only propagated the faith through his words of preaching, but he also strove to put the teachings of Jesus into practice daily by his loving actions. The words of Jesus had so impressed themselves onto his soul that he was able to be a bright light even in one of the darkest places imaginable. Even some of the Nazi soldiers were able to see that there was something special about this saintly man. And the church has provided us with yet another example of heroic virtue in a dire situation where it would be easy to lose the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And all Christians can become lights amid a dark world in imitation of Saint Maximilian Kolbe, so that the darkness of sin might be overcome by the light of God's grace, love, and mercy.